Paddy, good morning. How are you, mate?
Good morning, guys. Very good.
Well, Pat, it's great to have you back. Now, we've been saying all week how terrific it is that after a very long summer break, largely because of the World Cup, the footy season is finally upon us. I guess the other thing that draws a bit of a line under the off-field stuff is the judgment yesterday by the AFL Doping Tribunal about the 34 Essendon players. Now, aside from your excellent work with the Crows, you are a board member of the AFL Players Association. From the players' perspective, how harrowing has this process been for them?
Yeah, well, from what we've been told, it's been an incredibly difficult ordeal for the players. And you could see that, I think, with Job's body language yesterday. They just seemed so relieved, and the players standing behind Job in that press conference. So from the players' perspective, it's a terrific outcome. We really welcome it. But I suppose there's still those questions, and Job addressed it yesterday, you know, what it is they're actually injected with. So, I mean, the players, I think, around the entire competition are really happy for the Essendon players because you're just not sure what you would have done in the same situation. So it's a great result for the players.
I guess that is the thing. And yesterday on Rowey and Bix were talking about the fact that Stephen Danks, the sports scientist, had flat out refused to testify, even though he was subpoenaed and there was the legal wrangling over that. But, you know, as a player, not knowing what they did inject you with, that would sort of trouble you, wouldn't it?
Oh, without doubt. And we've seen with Paddy Ryder, obviously, joining Port Adelaide. So it's just so hard to comprehend, you know, what it is they have been through. And we really don't know because from afar, you know, we make comments on what we see, what's mentioned in the media. But it is just so difficult to understand what it is they've been through.
Paddy, what about the process that they've been through over almost 3 years? It really has dragged on. If this was to ever happen again, do you think things need to be tightened up for the players' sake mostly?
Well, it was interesting listening to Gillon McLachlan on Monday night on the couch speaking about reviewing the protocols regarding the drugs policy. And I think it certainly needed because the last thing that we need, should it ever happen again, is for it to drag on for 3 years. And that's certainly not good from the player's perspective. I mean, this really should have been wrapped up a long time ago.
Yeah. I guess the other thing too, and we're just chatting about this off air, is the level of trust that players, particularly younger players, have automatically got in their club doctors. You know, if you're some 17, 18-year-old rookie who's turned up from, you know, West Wyalong, land in the big smoke, playing for a club, and you're told, look, this is the program, everyone else is doing it, don't worry, no dramas, just take this. It's pretty hard to turn around and say no, isn't it?
Oh, it's incredibly difficult to do that. And I just don't think that many would. I think if you went and saw your GP and he recommended that you take this in order to, you know, fix whatever it is you're sick with or you've got an injury, you know, you'd just do it because you trust those people in those roles. And, you know, that's what the Essendon players have done. So, you know, they're guilty of trusting people, of nothing else, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. And look, we've seen this week, and obviously I'm not trying to rope you into prejudging the two Collingwood players who've been accused of taking clenbuterol. One failed test, obviously, another one yet to come. But there's sort of two different streams within sport, aren't there? There's the club-based sort of program stuff that Essendon was accused of, and then there's the issue of individual players making bad choices. So that's sort of a separate thing that needs to be dealt with, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And it's just so difficult, I suppose, to comment from afar because we only know so much. We only know what we're told and what we see in the media. So until we find out what it is they've taken in terms of, you know, once they test that B sample, we're really unsure.
For the Port players, so the result yesterday is a good one for Angus Monfrey and Paddy Ryder. What does their inclusion in the Port team mean? What do they bring, do you think?
I think it makes a huge difference. I think they would have played, just, you know, there was just so much uncertainty about when they would play. For Port Adelaide, it's different circumstances because they've got two players. Essendon had, you know, 17 on the list, I think it was. So that obviously huge ramifications for their list. But both those players are in Port's best 22, Paddy Ryder in particular. Is one of the more dangerous players in the competition. So I think from a ruck perspective, he'll play a fair bit forward as well. He certainly changes their dynamic.
Pat, just in terms of our boys, my wife was lucky enough to go to a women supporters function last night for the Crows, which Phil Walsh was at, and Rory Sloan was there as well. And Sloaney was saying that he has never felt more energised about a season because of the way Phil Walsh is going about it. The expectations at training seem to be much higher, and the sort of sense of promise for the year ahead, Sloaney was really talking it up. Is that the vibe around the club right now?
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny, we had a main training session yesterday and there was a lot of nervous energy. There was a few skill errors yesterday, but I think it's all part of the build-up to round one. It's a great week. It's similar to the build-up for the finals because you spend so much time preparing for that one game. And, you know, realistically, there's 21 others to go before finals start, but there's just so much excitement and anticipation around that game. You know, there were plenty of nerves yesterday.
Are you going to get on the Oval for a look before before Sunday? Or
well, it would be great if we were allowed to train on there at some stage. I mean, we are playing on there on Sunday, so we haven't been there yet. We haven't been allowed to train, and I don't think that's the case until Saturday, which is disappointing. But, you know, we can't control that, so we're not going to worry about it.
Yeah, Sunday afternoon, 2:50, North Melbourne. I mean, I think the Crows are really lucky because you've got the first game of the season at the Oval. It's got a magic of its own, and this is the second year that you'll be playing there. How will it feel when you walk out there on Sunday afternoon?
It's going to be terrific. I mean, you know, a few days ago we announced that we'd cracked the 60,000 member mark, which is just unbelievable. It's the first time the Crows have done that. We've got 44,000 members that are 11-game membership holders, which is certainly one of the highest in the AFL. So our following is just unbelievable. We just need to back it up and, you know, make our supporters proud with the footy that we play.
When Ken Hinckley made his debut 2 years ago as the Port coach, he let David King from Fox Footy into the coach's box.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of...
Don't think that's going to happen with Walshy.
You don't reckon?
No.
Walshy's not quite that experimental.
I don't reckon he'd be letting the media in. No.
He seems pretty intense, doesn't he?
He is and he isn't. He's certainly very focused on the game, but at the same time, he's been in the game a long time, so he understands that you need to be relaxed and make sure your players are relaxed heading into round one. He's certainly done that.
But is there a media Walshy and the real Walshy? Because I've only spoken to him a couple of times and probably
you've
like
spoken, you know, to the media Walshy.
Yeah, exactly.
I think there is, and I think every good coach has, you know, two sides. You know, a side they have with the players, the rapport they have with them, and then the side they have with the media, and Walshy's no exception to that.
Yeah, yeah. No, because he seemed incredibly intense.
He'll always say what, you know, he won't beat around the bush. He'll be open and honest. But he's certainly more open to the players, as he should be.
Do you do any sort of special private things as a playing group? Do you peel off and have a feed somewhere and talk about the year ahead? Or is there any, not sort of like, you know, the old days where everyone goes out and gets on the Raz, but has there been one thing that you guys have done together?
There's been more than one thing. We've got together as a playing group throughout the pre-season at different times, and we had a barefoot bowls night a few weeks ago, which was terrific. So,
oh really?
We do all that sort of thing, which is...
Which bowl did you go to?
We went down to Glenelg, and I'm certainly not a bowler, that's for sure. There's not many that are.
So you're not planning on playing for a different bowling team next year?
No, I won't be moving to the Grange Bowls Club.
Imagine that. Imagine if a bidding war started between the bowling clubs.
Hoffa's Bay and Grange.
Or Moggs Creek.
Or can't beat Grange.
Or Paddy held a media conference tomorrow and we all thought it was about his future in AFL, but it was actually about his future in bowls.
Yeah, that's right. We promise that we're not going to pest you about that, mate, and we won't. Good on you, mate.